Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And he can hear the announcements being made in the press box. Attention press, that was Chris Davis's first inning homer this year. And he's back there thinking, wow, that's pretty interesting. I didn't know that. He can hear that during the game. And Buck Showalter told me he heard every word that Jim Palmer and Gary Thorne said. And they're doing the game from the press box. Plus, he said, we didn't even need the bullpen phone. I just yelled out to the bullpen, get Britton up.
Yeah.
That's how quiet it was.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. I'm in my dining room. I don't know where you are. It's a very rainy day in Washington, D.C. Started raining about 3 in the morning. So rainy that when I took Chessie out at 5:30, she did not want to go. Like, she did virtually nothing. And she better be able to hold it, because it's going to rain all day. And I've expressed my displeasure to her. Nigel is with us. Sean is engineering. We have a variety of guests. This is, of course, the new format. And Jeannie McManus is on with us now. I just wanted to read this so that Jean would hear it. This is from John Kay in Los Angeles. The headline on the email is, "What I'm Eating in Quarantine." And it just says, "Raisin Bran, please tell McManus." So we'll get to what Jeannie's eating in a second. I did something yesterday, Jean, that was, yeah, I don't know that self-indulgent is the right word, but I've been in the house for about 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, and I have been cooking myself. Carol has ceded the cooking to me. I have called Elizabeth before virtually everything that I've cooked to see if there's a way that I can do it in a skillet on top of the stove on a high heat and then put it in the oven. And thankfully, with most of the foods that we've had, we have been able to do that. And I finally, and are you influenced by advertising? I know I am. Are you influenced by advertising, Jean?
Well, I suppose I am. I mean, not obviously, you know, the hidden persuaders are out there. So sure, probably. I have to be honest and say I am.
So I get stuff on my phone. I don't watch television anymore. I just get stuff on my phone, and I go through it to see what it is. And 95% of it I could care less about. But about 3 days ago, I got a giant picture of a prime rib from the Palm.
Oh.
And it said, "Prime rib Easter, two sides, your choice of a dessert, either a cheesecake or a flourless chocolate cake. And 23-ounce prime rib on the bone, $75. And I just looked at that. I swear to you, I looked at it for 2 days. For 2 days. And I finally...
Was the curbside pickup of
yes.
This?
Yeah, I'll tell you the story.
Oh,
so
God,
I really wanted it. And Carol said, well, you know, I can't eat beef. And she said, can you throw in a chicken parmesan? I said, sure, they're in business. Of course I can. Of course I can do that. It's not going to be hard. They're going to be happy. So I called up Michael at the Palm. I said, I've got to have it. And he said, okay, we're closing at 5. You have to pick it up, what's good, 4:45. And I said, okay. So at, I don't know, 5 or 10 after 4, I get in my car, and I begin to drive downtown for what is normally from my house 30 to 35 minutes.
Yeah.
It was 10 minutes. There's nobody there. There's nobody on Connecticut Avenue on Easter Sunday at 4:00. There's nobody but me. So, and I'm driving slowly because I don't want to get there too early. I end up getting there about 4:25. And there is a line. There's a line on the street of cars. Like, I'm not the only one doing this. Everybody finally said, I'm done with my own food. I'm done.
Surely you saw someone you knew in that line.
Well, I'm going to get to that part in
okay.
A second. I also ordered, because it's Michael's birthday tomorrow and Liz's birthday next week. They're born 9 days apart. I said, I'll buy you a birthday dinner. And they said, sure. And they wanted the prime rib. And Michael, when I called back, Michael said, no, Tony, you got the last prime rib. We'll give him a bone-in ribeye. And I said, okay, because that's going to be much more money. Because it wasn't the advertisement that came to me. But, you know, at this point, I don't care. So I drive down there. I get there early, and I don't really know what to do. So I go inside, and there's a couple of people inside, and they are, you know, bedecked in masks and gloves and all of that. And they're beginning to put food out on a large table to be brought out to your car. So I said, this is the car I'm in. and I'm parked up the street. And the woman said to me, no, park down the street. There's a spot right in front of the restaurant now. So I parked down the street, and I'm sitting there for 5 minutes, and then a car pulls by me, cannot park in front of me because I'm pretty much at the end of the road, and pulls backwards into, I guess it's Jefferson at that point. I don't really know the name of the street. And who gets out but Johnny Williams, who's Columbia. His wife, Colleen, it's her birthday. So he's getting this stuff. And there's, it's, I don't want to say I snapped. And my, I don't want to say my cooking wasn't good because it was very satisfying. I was fine, but I was influenced by the advertising. I was nostalgic for it. Takeout is not as good as, you know, when you go to a good restaurant, you go for all of it. And it's not just the food. It's the ambiance. It's the service. It's all of that stuff. But it was, when I got it home, I was really happy. Have you done anything like that recently? Really happy to eat that?
No, Tony, I would say that every day for me is like an episode from that food show Chopped.
You know,
they give the chef a basket with four ingredients. Like they say, okay, you have cotton candy, chicken liver, celery root, and wheat germ, and you have to make something. So every day, and I start to think about it, like, you know, like about this time in the morning, I open up my pantry or my fridge or my freezer and go, okay, so I have polenta, and I have dried mushrooms, and I have Parmesan. And so then this plan begins to formulate. And so by about 5 o'clock, I'll pour myself a glass of wine and sort of figure out what I'm going to eat for dinner. But it's sort of like a pioneer woman mentality that I have. You know, I'm trying to get by on just the bare essentials. And I'm, like the rest of the country, I decided I wanted to bake bread. Well, I haven't baked bread in 50 years when I was unemployed and had nothing else to do. And you can't find yeast anywhere. You could probably get like a 50-pound bag of yeast, but you can't. It's everybody's baking, so there's no yeast. So now I'm growing yeast on my countertop in the kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah, you just kind of put flour and water in a bowl, and then there's stuff out there that flies in and creates yeast.
Wow, that's interesting.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, well, it's interesting in a little house of the prairie way, but I was really happy to get in an automobile and go to the farm. Yeah. I was so excited when I was driving downtown. I was worried that I was going to be too early and the food wouldn't be there. And of course it wasn't. They had to cook some of it, but I was so excited about it because I had not been downtown in 4 weeks. I had not really been, you know, anywhere outside of my neighborhood in a long time. And it was exciting for me to have them put it in the car and drop Michael's off at Michael's house, contactless.
So wait, Michael's back up here?
Oh, yeah, he's back.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So I'm very happy about that. Yeah. So are you painting?
Yeah, I'm painting. It's, you know, it's not going that well, but I just feel like I have to keep doing something. But part of my painting is from my imagination, and like that's kind of run dry about 3 weeks into this self-isolation. So I'm doing some painting. I'm totally into Ozark season 3. I mean, it's all I can do not to stay up all night and watch it straight through. It is so good.
Yeah, I don't watch TV anymore. I don't watch TV. I mean, I put SportsCenter on for no reason because nothing has happened in order to prepare. I mean, my weekends are terrible because I don't have anything to do.
It must be so interesting around your house.
Oh, it's terrible.
You have nothing to do.
No,
are you reading anything? I'm reading a lot.
No, no reading, no nothing, nothing. Carol did a puzzle the other day. She did a puzzle of the Browse About bookstore, you know, like 300 pieces. She did it in 2 days. I told Elizabeth, the next time there's a season of America's Got Talent, we're just going to stick her in the middle of the stage and let her do puzzles. Because I could not even get the end piece.
I hate those puzzles.
She did it in 2 days. Are you Zooming? Are you doing Zoom?
I'm Zooming a lot. I Zoom. Every week I Zoom with my high school girlfriends.
Right.
And every week I Zoom with my sisters. And about once every 2 weeks I Zoom with my college friends. And somebody asked me recently, well, aren't you worried about the lack of security on Zoom? I said, if they can figure out what I'm saying to my high school girlfriends, whom I've known since I was 13, good luck with that.
Yeah.
You could crack any code ever if they can figure that out. So, yeah, that, Zooming is actually fun. And, like, with my high school friends, every week somebody brings a piece of memorabilia to the Zoom call. Like, they'll put up some prom photo from 1964.
Yeah.
And then we all sort of, you know, string it along about who was wearing what and look at so-and-so over the corner smoking a cigarette. And it's a lot of fun.
That's good. Are you getting any exercise? Are you walking around?
Yeah, I walk.
Tony,
I've lived in D.C. my whole life. I have been walking on streets I never knew existed.
Yeah.
Because I try to stay on side streets. I don't want to go on main streets. And then on days when I'm not walking, there's 9 stories in my apartment building. So I go up and down the steps a couple times. So I figure that's sort of like a Stairmaster.
That's a lot.
It's hard on the knees, but you know, I don't do it too often, but I do it every once in a while.
I describe my life because basically what I do is I walk and I nap on the couch. Truly, that's basically my entire day. And I wrote to a couple of people, including to Remnick the other day. I said, I now have the life of my own dog, you know, and that's pretty much all I do. How is your anxiety level?
I'm really not that anxious, to tell you the truth. Are you?
Well, I always am. I am. I was talking to my cousin Marilyn the other day, and she said, this was astonishing to me. She said that she and one of her sons and the family, she's got 2 sons, 1 son in the family, they had tickets, plane tickets to Seattle, and they were going on a cruise to Alaska.
Boy.
And she said, you know, obviously we're not doing that, so we got the money refunded. And I said, well, you're never going to do that. You're not actually going to do that even when it's better. And she says, oh, yeah, I am. And I go, what, are you crazy?
Yeah.
You can't do that. You just can't. You can't get on a cruise ship. There are no more cruise ships, right? You can't do it.
I was supposed to go to Italy this summer. I was going to take a cooking class in Italy.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm not going. But the cooking class owners said, we will give you credit for 2021. And I thought, you know, I may not be ready to go to Italy in 2021. I may not be ready to go to Italy in 2022.
Yeah.
I mean, no thank you. You know, give me the cash now, because I'll need it to buy, you know, butter or something in a
couple
of weeks.
Well, yeast. You're going to get that 50-pound bag of yeast and bake bread for everybody. If you start baking bread, I'll take one. You know,
so,
I mean,
one of my girlfriends has found this place, and she swears it's good. They have powdered butter. Powdered cream.
I don't want that.
I know, but I thought, ordered some. It's on the way, and I thought, you know, come November, when maybe you really can't go out at all, I'll be sitting on like 16 ounces of powdered butter. You know, I'll be in the catbird seat.
Yeah, you'll be the queen on that one. Yeah, that'll be good. People will come and pay their respects.
You'll
on that
have
one.
To get a crane to get me out of my living room.
All right, you sound very good. This is the new format. We reconnect with all the people who have voices that are familiar to all the listeners.
Well, yeah, it's fun.
It makes them happy.
And really, I'm interested to know what some of our littles are up to. So, you know, I would encourage them to tell us what they're eating, what's in their pantry. You know, stuff like that could be very interesting.
We are overwhelmed with email. I can't get to one-fifth of it, and it is pretty much that, and, you know, a certain amount of gratitude for hearing the voices. All right, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Pete, take care. Bye.
Gene McManus, boys and girls, we will take a break. Michael Wilbon will join us when we return, and I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Malcolm Gladwell podcast ad, and I say this as a podcaster myself. Malcolm Gladwell is really good. This episode of the Tony Kornheiser Show is brought to you by the new podcast, Go and See, hosted by Malcolm Gladwell, as I've told you many times, a former colleague at the Washington Post. Produced by the team behind Revisionist History, Go and See is a 6-part series focused on Lexus and the philosophy of Genchi Genbutsu, which means go and see for yourself, except it means it in Japanese. An idea that stems from the belief that if you experience something yourself, you have a better understanding of people and how to create something for them. In the series, Lexus invites Gladwell to Japan to discover their unconventional thinking and processes firsthand. So you can find out how a Japanese tea ceremony influenced the engineering of a car window, how the sound of an engine is tuned like a musical composition to elicit certain emotions, how understanding samurai warriors' eyes led to a suspension innovation. Gladwell learns that no detail is left behind and that a car company can learn more about cars by studying people. So go inside Lexus's headquarters in Japan, ride along on a top-secret test track with a master driver, sit in the expertly designed seat that actually lowers to welcome you into the vehicle. Follow Gladwell on his journey wherever you like to listen. It's all out. It's all available. Go to Lexus.com/curiosity for more stories like these.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Britt sends this in. He writes, my fiance tells me about your show all the time, saying your similarities include sports, journalism, and overall neuroses, leading him to often call you his spirit animal. He mentioned you take music submissions. I suggested I send something. I'm an L.A.-based band, Our Last Summer, and our song Echo Park is attached. They say we finally refer to the instrumental bridge as the Beach Boys section, so hopefully you'll like it. Again, it's called Our Last Summer is the band, and Echo Park is the music. And, you know, at the end of the show, you can listen to all of this. Michael Wilbon joins us now from Arizona. Golf still available in Arizona?
Yeah, Tony, it is. I played Friday, which we've been off for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, of course, with Good Friday being the day in there, and that I was out, yeah, on a golf course, one of the many, many, many great public golf courses in Greater Phoenix and Scottsdale area, Greyhawk, which used to host something. Tony, there's wonderful golf courses here that hosted something. Maybe it was a LPGA event, a Champions event, or not a tour event, but one of those two. And they were supposed to have the NCAA men's and women's championships. And, of course, it's sadly quiet now that they're not having that. And so the clock starts next year. They get their first of three. I hope they get the additional year.
By the way, I hope you've seen this. I have had 15 people send me this and say, please forward to Wilbon. And it is the sign in the store that says, during this coronavirus outbreak, remember to remain at least 10 feet away from others. If you're wondering how far that is, picture a Bears wide receiver and then imagine where Trubisky actually threw the pass. That distance is about 10 feet. It's very funny. It is.
Well,
not for you.
Anybody who's got any relationship with the Bears has seen that, saw that like Tuesday or Wednesday.
It's been out.
Yeah. Days ago, somebody sent that to me, and I just said, Jared Levine sent it to me. Jared sent it to me and just said, this made me laugh so much. And I said, it made me cry.
That's, it's not great. If you're a Bears fan, it's not great. No. So you talked about hosting events. That story about the Cactus League hosting baseball and playing essentially the entire season in the Cactus League in the surroundings of Phoenix. Kirkchin was on this show last week and just threw water all over that and said it wouldn't work. You are out there. Are you hearing more about that, or has that been put on the back burner?
Tony, it was just, I don't know about back burner. They have to play. I told you this on PTI that day. And I said to you, the only honest thing I've heard, or common sense thing I've heard, is Adam Silver say the day before, that he knew less about what was going to happen now than he knew a month ago. And that was honest. It was real. It should strike a chord in everybody, even people who care about sports, to hear somebody be honest about it and smart. And you bristled because I said, I don't care if they have a plan. The plan doesn't mean jack. It's not, the world is not going to be ready for this. And in Arizona, where things are, I mean, look, no place is normal. Well, I was reading about a small town in Arkansas, Tony. Have you read about Arkansas and sort of what's going on there?
Nope.
I read a piece, I think it was in the Times of London, actually, where the mayor of this little town in Arkansas just drives to work, to the building to work every day, and people are going and people are sitting in cafes and having breakfast and doing what they do because they, like, have no cases. Unbelievable story. And that is not the case in Arizona, and nobody should think it is, but it is not New York. It is way, way, way away from that. But, Tony, having said that, the world's not ready for that. If New York and California, and you know, had just, I know California added another 30 days. They're not playing baseball in May.
No, they're not.
It's just stupid.
They're not.
You can say, look, here's what we want. Look, it wasn't as dumb as Mike Gundy, who I would have fired. I called him in, and I would have said, you better get yourself on somebody's television show from your basement, from your office, whatever you want to do. And you better apologize about saying something as dumb as we're going to get some students in here May 1st and we're going to get these kids back and we're going to get a football field. Shut up. You're an idiot. And that just baseball, it didn't anger me that baseball had a plan. It just, you can't give voice to it. You can't run that up a flagpole. You can't float that like it's actually going to happen. It was just stupid.
So it seems to me.
No one's talking about that out here because people know better.
Yeah. It seems to me that the one thing that is possible, I don't know when it's possible. I'm not certain at all, not at all certain about a baseball season. I'm not even certain about a football season. And I'll ask you this down the road about college football in particular, because it pays all the bills. But it seems to me that it is going to be possible at some point to do the playoffs in the NHL and the NBA. That is going to be possible. I don't know when, maybe October or November. But that's going to be possible because that's contained. You know, that's a limited schedule. You go right into the playoffs and you figure the thing out. That, it seems to me, is possible. How about to you?
Yeah, Tony, I've said all along. But you know, I've always said, as you know, July and August, and emphasis on August. And because we're still talking about 4 months away, so if you know, you hear these stories, these bits of optimism about where the world is going, and if they're remotely accurate, maybe you can get people in some sort of training camp of sorts, meaning 10 days, 12 days, at the end of July or early August. And then play the playoffs if that's what those two sports want to do. I don't know if that's what they want to do, Tony, because then you're talking about what happens in the next season. I certainly, to me and to you, you know, the NHL and NBA don't have to kick off any season.
Nope. Until whenever they want.
December they want. Or January.
That's right.
You know, especially December. So if you can contest, I'd be much more interested in seeing playoffs for this season, which is now over, then I would to see them start up, try to start up the season in November. For what? Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
Not what that's be able to tell me. You know, commissioners do answer to owners, no matter how popular they are, no matter how common sense their decisions seem to be. And so, you know, both commissioners of those sports have owners to answer to who are worried. Look, Tony, when they come back, not every owner is going to be in the same financial situation he or she was in March. So, you know, there's some things that we're not going to know about the health of every individual club immediately.
That's interesting because people, very, very rich people, are very deeply invested, and they could be losing scads of money. I was concerned in college. Football pays for everything. And yep. And gate at a football stadium is meaningful. It's meaningful.
Sure.
I'm just wondering what happens to intercollegiate athletics if there's no football. And I'm obviously talking only about the big schools, because the smaller schools have different budgets and different aims, and everything is different. Yeah. But you know, the big schools, what happens?
They're hurting, Tony. We know that now. I had a talk with even, you know, being a person who's involved with a rich school and a rich conference.
Yeah.
You know, with the television package that can make up for some, you know, make up for some things that you wouldn't think you'd have to deal with. If there's no football season, then a whole lot of things are in jeopardy. And you want to talk about college programs being cut and taking a hit. That's what's going to happen if there's no college football. And it pays for stuff at big schools, it pays for stuff at smaller schools, it pays for everything. And that's why a guy like Gundy can say something that's stupid.
because he knows how important what he does is to his institution. Apparently, he doesn't know anything else, but he knows that. And I'm sure that these schools are sitting there looking at all these projections, Tony. I mean, again, I haven't even checked in thinking about what's the planning. I don't know. Every school probably is doing some planning, but mostly, Tony, just like the Major League Baseball, you can do all the planning you want.
Doesn't matter.
You have to sit there and wait.
Yeah.
And no one wants to do that.
See, this was
no one wants to wait. Just, people do share that feeling with Gundy. But you can't actually walk out there and say, yeah, we're going to get students back in here May 1st. New York just canceled schools through June. Done. Over. I realize Oklahoma is not New York City when it comes to just the state of being, of existing, of mind. I realize that. But it is nowhere near having school, and none of these places are. And so, these updates, I get angry about them because I'm like, these plans, when they're voiced even the golf one that I want to see, the golf plan. We're going to do this in November. We don't know. We have no idea. And by the way, I got to do something yesterday, Tony, that I couldn't do last year. Last year on the Sunday of the Masters, when Tiger Woods was, in this great drama with just I haven't watched the Masters very long. I've only watched it for 20 years, a little more than that, 25 years. It's the greatest Masters that I've seen in terms of the final day. The number of people involved who had a chance for a minute and who had drama undo what they'd done.
Put it in the water.
Finally, what's that?
They all put it in the water, but Tiger.
They all put in the water at 12.
Yeah, they put it in.
And I got to watch that because last year, Tony, I don't know if you remember this, there was a weather circumstance, a weather-related change of schedule, and the Masters had to start early on Sunday. They started at least a few hours earlier.
Right.
So I was flying from L.A., having been in the studio doing the final weekend of NBA.
Oh, so you missed the Masters.
So I couldn't see it because I couldn't change the flight. I could have stayed over, I guess, in L.A., but I had a flight as well. So I took the flight, and I was trying to check on Wi-Fi and doing all these crazy things because I'd never missed the Sunday of the Masters in the 25 years I've been watching it. So I sat down yesterday, and I said to Cheryl, I'm going to watch this as if it is taking place today.
Was it a good telecast? It must have been.
Oh, God, it was great.
Like Tiger was there, right? Tiger was sitting there.
Tiger was on with Jim Nance.
Yeah.
Nigel
said he loved it. Nigel said he loved it.
It was just great. And at the end of it, Jim Nance asked Tiger sort of an open-ended question. He said, what did that feel like? What do you remember? What are the small and large things you recall from this unbelievable moment that no one thought was going to happen, including you? And Tiger must have talked for about what seemed to me, and maybe this is too long, it seemed to me to be about 3 minutes, where Tiger was just talked. Maybe it was a minute and a half. A minute and a half is a long answer. And it was so unbelievable that Tiger Woods has now become this person. You know, when he's a man in his mid-40s, so everything changes. But, yeah, I watched that, and I'm so glad I got to watch it again. But it was like watching it for the first time. And so I did that yesterday, speaking of golf, and enjoyed the hell out of it. It's the first sporting event. I mean, I watch some of these, replayed events, some of these old events. I watch a few. But, man, that was just – I wonder what the rating for that will be. I mean, I would suspect we are now in the week of The Last Dance and the Jordan Doc, which I know in certain cities like my hometown will be like an NFL game. I mean, I expect the ratings for The Last Dance in Chicago to be like a game, like an NFL game.
Wow.
At least, if not an NFL game, at least an NBA playoff game. I know that won't be the case everywhere. But you know, we now get another Sunday next week where there's at least going to be something that captures people's interest. I'm told, Tony, and I have all 10 parts are not even done. Well, all 10 hours. All 5 parts are not done. You can see 8 of the 10 hours, and I have them. But I'm not going to watch. I want to watch in real time. I want to watch it like everybody else consumes it. I'm not going to sit home and watch it in advance. Like,
that's no, you're
you
right.
Watch it and tweet during it. No, I'm watch it.
No. All right. I will see you later.
All right, Tom.
Sort of see you. I'll see you from my attic and your studio. All right. Michael Wilbon, okay. Boys and girls.
Sounds good.
On the just to back this up a second. And everybody knows that Jolene Wojcik in Nebraska goes to the Masters every single year. And Wilbon talked about the Masters. I'm going to read this. Of course, you know, I agree with you that this is the greatest week in sports. And I am particularly sad we're not watching the Masters this year. I will miss seeing the people from around the world that we have become friends with over the last 20 plus years. A Masters in November is going to be quite interesting. And I think you could have Michael on the podcast all week and we could all just talk golf, but that may disappoint some of the littles. In a nod to where I would be in any normal year, I'm wearing Masters gear all week as I work from home. And then she writes, thank you so much for doing the podcast during these strange times. It's certainly something to look forward to. It's nice to hear the voices of all the regulars and hear their thoughts on everything. Said, my sister is an infectious disease pharmacist. I worry about her. And then she talks about other stuff and it's very nice. Be safe and be well. Jolene writes, and I thought I would read that because we just talked about the Masters. And Nigel, you saw that telecast and you thought it was great, right?
I just thought it was a terrific idea and it was great execution of it. And it just to hear Tiger, you know, give you what was on his mind going through all that, it was just fascinating. It really was a brilliant idea.
It's good. And I'm glad Wilbon got to see it. I didn't realize that he was flying last year and did not get to see it. I mean, in my life, I am parked in front of the television set on the Sunday of the Masters.
Well, can I just point out why
sure.
that was such a great idea?
Yeah.
And not to cast stones, but at the same time, like the Tennis Channel was showing classic matches. And I thought, oh, maybe they'll show Borg and McEnroe or, you know, great Federer and Nadal.
Yeah.
And they were just replaying the first round of the 2019 French Open.
Thought, which well, everybody needs to see.
Right. That's a waste. Show yeah. something brilliant. So, anyways.
The first round. Let me get some water here.
All right.
It's dry in my house. All right, we'll get out of here. Mike Freeman, Real Sports, the NFL. When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Grammarly ad. Whether you're communicating with your team online or working on a project, Grammarly, G-R-A-M-M-A-R-L-Y, is the digital writing tool you can always rely on to get your message across clearly and effectively. Grammarly works across multiple platforms, including Gmail, Google Docs, and Slack. I have no idea what Slack is. There's more to writing well than catching spelling mistakes. Grammarly can help you write confidently no matter where you are. It is a digital writing assistant that helps more than 20 million people put their best words forward. And it asked me to make a personal endorsement and asked me to say how Grammarly Premium has elevated my writing. I have to be honest. I've been a writer my whole life. And so I'm selling this to you because you're not writers,
right.
And this will help you. But if I need this, I'm in a lot of trouble. I mean, honestly, because I think I still know how to write. People are actually, Jim Miller the other day said, I need to write a memoir. And I said, no, I don't think I do. And he said, no, you do. Grammarly Premium helps you write like a pro with advanced real-time feedback. Level up your writing for work, school, or in personal projects. Premium features include advanced suggestions on grammar, punctuation, sentence structure, and style. Advanced suggestions, that's interesting. So this makes it the perfect writing tool for anyone who wants to stand out with every word. Harness the power of Grammarly on every platform with their desktop editor, browser plugin, and mobile apps. Improve your writing on all your favorite sites and apps. Outlook, Gmail, Twitter, LinkedIn, and more. Don't just say it. Make a statement with clear, flawless text that's sure to impress. Grammarly doesn't just correct your mistakes. It helps you build up your skills as a writer. I am for this. I am for anything that gets you to where when I read what you write, I don't say, how stupid is this person? And I say, wow, that's good copy. Good copy is meaningful to me.
Yes.
Get 20% off Grammarly Premium when you sign up at Grammarly.com/Tony. 20% off. Grammarly Premium at Grammarly.com/Tony. I'll spell it for you. G-R-A-M-M ARLY.com/Tony. And I would suggest this. If you don't know how to spell Grammarly, you're in the wrong business.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Rob Frank. You can get his music at robfrank.ca. What does CA mean, Nigel?
Robfrank.ca?
Yeah, not com, it's ca, CA. I don't know what that is. This is a track called Blame. Rob Frank gives us his music a lot. We are very pleased. Nigel, if people want to send us their music, how do they do it?
Oh, yes, you can send it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. We ask them if you can send it to us as an MP3 file. That makes it very easy for us. And also, if it helps if you're actually part of the band, if you wrote the song, you can't just send in stuff from, like, your relatives or your friends or just someone who you think is neat. Like, oh, this is from Mick Jagger. I think you guys should play this.
No, actually, I got this great thing from Peter Melman the other day, and Melman said, I'm going to send you this tune yesterday by Peter Melman and the LA Jew Boys. And I said, well, it's McCartney. He goes, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
but Melman's funny. All right. Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report joins us now. As I say out loud, thank God for the NFL, because it is the only thing going on. Thank God for football. You at least must feel I have something to do. I have purpose in my life.
There's been some stuff to do. There's been work to do. It's been, obviously, like with everyone else, just crazy around everything. But, the decision the league had to continue the draft is one that they were always going to make. And just like, I'm sure we'll talk about this, just like they're always going to try and play the football season on time. They're going to try everything they can, even if it doesn't make sense. And even if it's not smart, and even if it's not potentially safe, they're going to play the season, or at least try to, in every way possible, because the money at stake is just too big for them to not try this. So they're going to really, Tony, every chance they can, every opportunity they can, that this season is going to try and move forward. They're going to push it as hard as they can. And where the question comes in is the players, the union. Will the players want to do it? Will the players want to think it's safe enough? And these are all questions that all these, the Roger Goodell, the league office, everyone is still working through. They're going through all these different types of alternative plans, maybe how to do it, ways to do it. Can they do testing? Can they test their players? Should fans be in the stadium? All that stuff is being worked through now. But for the meantime, we got the draft, and Roger Goodell is going to be reading the picks from his basement, which is just crazy. But here we are.
Football is a contact sport. This is not golf. This is not tennis. Tim Kirkjian was on and talked about how there's contact in baseball all the time. And there is contact in baseball all the time. But not with every player on every play like there is in football. And let me repeat that again. Every player, every play. that's the way it works. So you can have all the plans in the world. What are you sensing from players you talk to, or from player reps that you talk to?
I would go a step further. Even the really good example you laid out, every player, every play is contact, and then those players go to the sideline, interact with coaches.
Yeah.
Those players interact with other staff. There's security around them. There's a lot of people around them. Even if the stadium is empty, it will be extraordinarily difficult, not just what happens on the field, but keeping people apart and safe off the field. And the players I talk to are just kind of what I just told you. Just they don't see how you can have a season and do it safely unless there's a vaccine. And these players are very tuned in. They're all listening. They watch everything. They read everything. They know what's going on. So they have the same questions that you do and that I do about how they can do this safely and how they can proceed safely without some type of cure or some type of vaccine. The one scenario I've heard is that where they just test everyone who goes in before the game, test everyone when they leave the game. They have these rapid tests that are out there, and maybe that way you can protect people that way. But if it just takes one person or a couple people to slip through that net, and then you have a huge problem. So this is the NFL faces, Tony, the same problem that society faces. Mass testing will help, obviously, but until there's a vaccine, it's really hard to sort of get things sort of kicking full steam. And that's the big dilemma they're facing. And they face the same problem that the rest of us face. It's hard to just to fully get things enacted unless you have a way to cure this and stop this. And so far, that seems like it's a year away. So this is the dilemma the league faces.
I'm not going to go very scientific on everybody here, but while there may be vaccines in the work, in order to make sure that they do work, takes time. They're not going to just give it to the NFL, because people would go crazy if they just gave the vaccine to NFL right. players, and justifiably. Yeah. It's not how it's going to work. I'm going to get off topic for a second, but I'll bring you back. The XFL has apparently folded. It's apparently over. What is the significance of that to you?
First of all, you can always talk science with me, Tony. I'm a nerd. We love this stuff.
Okay.
The significance is it's hard to really measure the true significance because of this, what this disease has done. It played a huge part, obviously, in the folding of the league. But I watched a lot of XFL games, and it was kind of fun to watch.
Yes, it was. They had good rules. They did.
It was a fun league. And I think it had a chance to stick around for a little bit. But it goes, I think you'll agree with this, it just goes to what you said in the beginning about how big football is. And it's the NFL is etched in our DNA as the premier league, and anything other than that is inferior. That's a basic problem that startup leagues have to overcome.
There's no more startups, Mike. There's no more startups in the four major sports. It'll never happen again.
I tend to agree with you.
The XFL folding, and I went, oh my, I did not see that coming at all. And this means to me, these are the four leagues we have, and if you want to get in, you better get an expansion team.
I tend to agree with you, and we've seen this battle before with the expansion teams trying to come in, and they just don't last because people don't look at them as the same, and they just don't. But I think the XFL, if this whole situation didn't hit, I think the XFL had a chance to last for a little bit longer, because it really started had to have a little bit more of a partnership with the NFL.
Every game was on TV. Every single game. How could it fold like this? Did it have no money?
I think the money and the money dried up, and it was always money was always tight, but it just got tighter when this whole thing hit.
Okay. I'll go back to the draft, but I got one question before the draft. You have watched Tom Brady and New England for your entire sports writing career.
Yes.
You have admired them, and you've slammed them, but you have admired them so much, Brady and Belichick, and I think justifiably. Are you, in fact, as I am, Wilbon, of course, is never surprised, but I am. I'm surprised he left.
I'm surprised that Robert Kraft, the owner, let him leave. But I'm a little bit with Wilbon in that there were some inklings that this was going to happen. And, you know, I have criticized them, but for the most part, what they've done is just
remarkable.
Just remarkable.
It is.
And Brady is just one of the most remarkable people, athletes that I've ever come across. And I think it was the reason that there wasn't terrible surprise. There have been sort of little things along the way that showed that this was going to happen. But I guess what I've always thought Robert Kraft would be able to convince both Brady and Belichick, finish your career here, stay another year or 2 years. They will work something out. I think that's where I was sort of surprised that Kraft wasn't able to do that, because Kraft and Brady are very close. Belichick and Brady are not close. Kraft and Brady are very close. But one of the things that happens and with this organization and what Robert Kraft has done is he's allowed Belichick complete leeway with the football stuff. So he doesn't interfere. And it turns out, even in the case of Tom Brady, he doesn't interfere. He doesn't get in the way of that. He lets Belichick run the organization the way he wants to run it. And I think also what Brady said on Howard Stern is true, that they were together 20 years and it was just time for a break. So I think that was a big part of it. But I went and looked back at everything they've accomplished, and it'll never be done again.
No.
I mean, it's just remarkable what they did. And I just have always stood in awe of it. And when you look back at everything, I mean, it's crazy. Look at the records they did, the winning they've done, the Super Bowls they've made. They weren't perfect, but the amount of them that they made, the wins, just really, really staggering what they did. And
it's people need to understand, and I don't think they do, because football is the only sport like this of our four major professional sports. This is a one-game deal. You know, it's not two out of three or three out of five or four. It's not. It's one game. The fact that they got to nine of these things is just amazing. It is.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
Amazing.
Just amazing. All right, so I'll get to the draft, which I guess Goodell's going to run in his basement. I hope his basement's better than my attic. I'm getting sick of my attic. There's two questions. There's two interesting questions to me in the entire draft, and they're at the top of the draft. Will Cincinnati move away from Joe Burrow because they don't think he's that much better than somebody else, and they want to get all the picks they can get? That's question one. And question two is about Tua. How high does he go, and how afraid are people about what is cited medical evidence that his bones break perhaps more easily than yours and mine?
Two really good questions. I'll deal with the second one first with Tua. If he didn't have an injury history, Tony, we would be in the league at least, and I think outside of the league, there would be much more of a discussion about the closeness of Burrow and Tua, because to a lot of people in the league, and I just recently spoke with a coach who really has broken these two guys down, they're very close talent-wise to a lot of people in the league. They think Tua is really, really good and talented, and almost as good and talented, and it's very close with Burrow. And they like the fact that Tua has a longer track record, that Burrow is basically kind of a one-hit guy so far. That doesn't mean he'll still be good, but there's more. Tua has a much more of a background that you can really break down over a longer period of time. So when you talk to people in the league, they will tell you, talent-wise, it's close, but the injury stuff just scares the hell out of them. I mean, it's not logical to me that because you were hurt a lot in college and you hurt a lot in the pros, but that's the way the league thinks. And so they look at this guy and they say they see a pretty strong injury history, a pretty significant one, and it scares a lot of teams. He's still going to go high because some team will take the chance. And there are teams that believe, that don't buy that because he's hurt a lot in the past, he's going to be hurt a lot in the future. They don't buy that. So he will go high. There will be a huge market for him high. I wouldn't be shocked if someone jumped up and traded for him because he's very, very good. The Bengals are not going to go away from Burrow. Every indication, everyone shows that they're gonna stick with it. Now there could be some crazy thing that could happen, like Mike Ditka trading his whole draft.
Yeah, for Ricky Williams. Yeah,
you know, something like that, but probably not. And the Bengals really like him. And the only issue is, does he want to go there? And every indication is he does. So I think that's set. And the 201 is really the big one where he ends up.
Do you see, I mean, you know, teams can't physically lay their hands on players. They can't do all the things that they are used to doing. A lot of general managers are upset about this. My feeling is, you know, shut up and do your job. But I'm wondering, I always think that at some point there's an advantage to smarter people, and this year seems like one of those times. But maybe I'm wrong. What do you think?
You're 100% right. The people who are really good at, who've already done a lot of homework and done a lot of track record on these guys and done a lot of interviews with these guys, and the people who are really good at breaking down film and looking at them and sort of projecting, this is where the really smart people do have a huge advantage. It's true. And I'll just say this real quick. There are still a lot of people in the league who don't want to have the draft now. They think it should be postponed for a while.
Because they're afraid of it.
I think because they're afraid of it. And what's happening now, I mean, you know this, Tony, way football people are. They're robots. Like, they have to have everything set, and everything has to go exactly right. Yeah. It has to go this way and this way and this way and this way. And if it doesn't go that way, then we can't do this. So there's some of that. And there's also some people who genuinely don't think they should have a draft now while however many 15 million people lose their jobs. So there's some of that. But it's mostly kind of what you hit on about how people, they're just so stuck in the way they do things that when there's any disruption to it, they want to postpone it so they can get things back to normal. So, yes, it's a huge – your point is dead on about it. The people who are really smart and adaptive will crush this draft because they're smart and adaptive. And the
there's two words, Bill Belichick. He's smarter than the others, right? He is.
He's smart. Teams like the Ravens.
Yeah.
There are teams that are looking at this and going, this is right up our alley. We're fine. We're good.
Not the Browns. Not the Browns. Ever. Not ever. It doesn't matter who comes in there. It doesn't matter. If you want to know about the Browns, Bill Belichick couldn't win there. It's just not going to they just don't know what they're doing. Can you cover an entire season from your house? Like, what happens? How do you do it?
I'll have to do it. I'll load up on the tapes and the TV, and there's no other way to get around it. I mean, I think there's going to be a season. I don't think if there's no way to cure this, I don't know how they do it safely, but I think they're really going to try. And then
is there anything in the NFL, the people that you talk to? I know what they say. I know they want to have a season. So would I. I get that. Is there anybody saying, it's we want it, but we can't do it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. There were people that are not alone in this. There were people in the country saying this wasn't a big deal, and there were initially people in the league who were saying the same thing. Now it's really hit in. People are studying it, reading it. There's people impacted in their lives. There are people who are saying we should hold off on this until it's safe, completely safe. They will be outnumbered and overruled, those people, I think, in the end. I could be wrong, but I just feel like the league is going to steamroll its way and try to, no matter what, get through this year and put under the guise of safety, do some things like we're going to mass test our players or staff, and they're going to do, but on and all that will be good, but it doesn't change the fact that there's right now is no cure for this. And all it takes is one person to impact many other people. And that will not change for a long time, at least a year. So that's the umbrella the league is working under. That's where we are. And that's a fact, and that won't change for a while. So
that's where
we go. Yeah. Thank you, Tony. Stay safe.
You too. I'll talk to you soon. Mike Freeman, boys and girls, we will take a break. We will come back. We have a jingle. We have lots of email. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the basement edition of the Underpants Read. It's officially spring, which means it's officially spring cleaning time. Yes, that's a thing, and if you're not doing it, you should, especially with your underwear drawer and your relationship with toxic, old, tattered undies, and move on to a membership with the Softy Sundies to ever grace your nethers. A fresh new start for spring. Just because Dad's not in the room with me doesn't mean I feel any better about reading this. We were out of town for a few weeks. We had a friend checking in on the house, and I got the message. There's a package on your front porch. I think it's the underpants. Why would you need an undie membership? We just got the bicycle underpants, which is perfect for this time of year and maybe a safe way for you to get outside. Honestly, because it's fun, it's an easy way to give your future self a present each month. A membership with MeUndies is full of perks like site-wide savings, early access, free shipping, and new ridiculously soft undies delivered to your door each month. Building your undie collection makes your adult life just a tad easier. More undies equals less laundry. It's just science. MeUndies are made with micromodal. What the heck is that? It's a magical, sustainable, soft-as-heck fabric made from trees. Yes, trees. That makes your bits feel like they're floating on a cloud. Gundies are offered in a range of sizes from extra small to 4XL. Gundies has a great offer for Tony's listeners. For any first-time purchaser, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer, especially because they have 100% satisfaction guarantee. Honestly, what else do you have to try right now? To get your 15% off your first order, free shipping, a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/TonyK. That's MeUndies.com/TonyK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Almost crazy, stuck inside. COVID-19 makes everyone high. Hope this ends soon. Hope you all stay well. We won't stop showering. Yes, you are the smell. Let me go back outside. So Virginia, it really doesn't matter anymore.
That is Matthew Schepansky, who writes, first time, long time. I've been a listener since the original days of the podcast. Your podcast has kept me entertained on my 1 hour, 45 minute commute to Baltimore County from the Philadelphia suburbs. I manage construction projects, but not like the Purple Line. My jobs are typically on time. I never saw myself as someone who would email a show. But is this is what being stuck in a house for 2 weeks does to you. Speaking of cabin fever, I wrote the attached song, which would make my life if you played it. I understand you're not doing too many of these podcasts right now, but what if you released an episode of just Littles playing songs? Anything would be better than nothing. Anyway, I'm an engineer and no musician, so I apologize for the quality. Lastly, I have two kids. Each are 2 months younger than Michael, so I appreciate his parent talk. Gives me a heads up as to what's coming. Stay well, and Edith Saliza from Matthew Schepansky. And that was wonderful, and that was nice. And you know what? The idea of Littles making music... I know I shouldn't say this out loud. I'd like to do this more than twice a week. I really would. Maybe I will. That's it for today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me remind everyone that I'll be hosting Hullabaloo this Thursday night with my special guests, Trini Lopez, Lola Falana, and the Back Porch Majority. Thanks to our guests today, Jeannie McManus, Michael Wilbon, Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report. Thanks as well to our sponsors, MeUndies. Michael did a beautiful read. Grammarly, the new podcast, Go and See, hosted by Malcolm Gladwell. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Radio.com. If you get the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. I want to thank Danny and the people at Bethesda Bagels, right?
Yes, that's Nigel, right. 4819 Bethesda Avenue, open every day from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. So please stop on by. It's a great crew. Thank you.
From Elaine Povich, thanks for pulling out one of Uncle Shirley's best lines. Jim Brown, born ineligible to play for the Redskins, integrated their end zone 3 times yesterday. Finally caught up with the Integrated the End Zone pod. I do not miss my long commute every day, but I do miss your podcast. Thank you, Elaine. From Tim Kazicki in Flemington, New Jersey. Good to know that despite our whole world seemingly being turned upside down, one thing does not, cannot, and will not change. Wilbon was not surprised about the lack of news for PTI to discuss. Thank God. From Carmen Real, almost 68 in Lakewood, Colorado. Dear promo code Ron, can I ask you a practical question? If Sir Paul McCartney gave you permission to play Michelle and Michelle only, would you play it for the bumper and at the end of the show? No. No, I actually wouldn't. Matthew Peterkin, King George, Virginia. Alas, what strange times we live in. The Bay Bridge construction project was completed a year ahead of schedule, so Tony can flee to his beach haven. But Maryland and D.C. says he has to stay home. What one hand giveth, the other taketh. Hang tight, friends, and keep well. This too shall pass. Thank you for keeping up the show. It's the one fun thing I can still indulge. From... Naman Miller in Moncton, New Brunswick, in Canada. You wanted to hear about our lives? Here goes. As a husband and father of 6 children, 6, 5, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1, I used to get up around 6:30 in the morning to see my oldest off to school and head out to work as an electrical contractor. Now with nothing to do, I spend my days at home resisting the urge to knock my children out. The longer I spend at home, the more I feel like a failure as a parent. Listening to Michael talk about his child didn't make it any better. I've also learned that although quarantines may be good for viruses, they're terrible for marriages. I'm doing my best to stay out of our way because, quite frankly, I cannot afford the child support if she leaves me. Kidding aside, I love my wife and kids. I'm grateful to hear these podcasts as it gives me some sense of normalcy. P.S. I would love to be considered your official East Coast Canadian electrical contractor. I'll leave you with this piece of wisdom. Electricity can kill you. Always have a professional probe your sockets and remove your shorts. That's funny. That's funny. From Carl and Nancy Shea. Dear doctor, you asked on Monday what the littles have been doing besides checking out our phones compulsively to see if a new podcast has dropped. On our block in Silver Spring, we have a nightly social distance dance party. At 5:30, everyone comes out on their doorsteps, music plays, and we twist again like we did last summer. If you'd like to drop by some evening, we'll put on a special Rascals medley, and you can teach us the penguin dance. It's really very, very nice. Really nice. From Cheeve in Somerville, how's Saliz's anxiety right now? Is his weighted blanket helping him through the pandemic? We've got to talk to Chris, right? We've got to get Chris and Gary on soon.
Oh,
from
yes.
John B. in Eagle River, Alaska. Dear Dr. Ron, I've recently moved from the Seattle area to Alaska, and I feel extremely lucky because, as you know, Alaska has been social distancing since 1959. From Brendan Borzelli, one of our favorites in Lebanon, New Jersey. Our town has twice yearly bulk garbage pickup, and today was the spring date. Basically, you can throw away anything from refrigerators to old lawnmowers, and they get hauled away. A side hobby from the town is the people walking around or driving around, rummaging through their neighbor's trash, looking for that antique end table or slightly bent ladder that can be refurbished. With coronavirus, that exercise is a welcome one, as you see all the neighbors out walking around and you can chat with them from a distance. Things get uncomfortable when your neighbor gives you that nod and wink because they're able to pick through your garbage while you're standing in front of your house. I don't know if I should offer to help carry the stuff to their house and yell at them to wait until I turn my back before they loot my trash. And from Margaret McDonald, one last one, as a numbers guy, you'd like the reason my daughter and fellow little Madeline picked out her wedding date a long time ago, 04042020. She and Ryan have had to postpone, of course, and they're being good sports about it, but it was tough seeing that big day go by with no wedding. Shout out to Madeline and Ryan, as well as all the other people deferring life celebrations. That's from Margaret McDonald. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
Seven. I'll take you to a party in a house up in the mountains. We'll go running in the water, running with the grunion. And when the night is over, you'll tell me that it's starting. Can you make it to my show? Can you make it just this once? Can you shut up while I sing and let me be the one who counts? Cause I'd pick you up at midnight, pick you up at seven. I'd take you to a party in that house up in the mountains.
Be the gold in my sins, isolate and heal my wounds, numb myself to everything I miss. I never meant to bring you